Revelation 2. Revelation 2, starting at verse 18. Notice the changes in the reading from your King James and the 1901. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like unto burnished brass. I know thy work, and thy love, and faith, and ministry, and patience, and that thy last works are more than the first. But I have this against thee, that thou tolerated the woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, and she teacheth and seduceth my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time that she should repent, and she willeth not to repent of her fornication. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of her works. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto each one of you according to your works. But to you, I say, to the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this teaching, who know not the deep things of Satan, as they are wont to say, I cast upon you none other burden. Nevertheless, that which ye have, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh, and he that keepeth my work unto the end, to him will I give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to shivers. And I also have received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we marvel that this letter written some 1900 years ago is as fresh as if it came from heaven this night, as needful. We marvel at this, and yet why should we marvel when thou hast told us that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and the word of God abideth forever. We thank you that what we have known from the beginning, Father, we find confirmed in our hearts day by day, the inerrancy, the complete dependability of thy word. Thou dost know that we have rested our souls upon it, and we shall not be disappointed. And so, Father, from the words we have read tonight, help us to understand, we pray. We are among those that have the name of the New Testament church in the town of Raleigh, Goldsboro, Durham, Fayetteville, wherever, our Father, as to Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamum and Thyatira and Sardis. So, Father, help us to take heed to these messages, because they are not just to those churches, but to all the churches. Hear us, we pray. Prepare the heart and lips, and we confess our sins. Cleanse us, our God. Give us a profitable, enjoyable time, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Last week, I gave you a sevenfold analysis of these letters that Christ sends to his churches. And when I gave it to you, it did not come out exactly the same every time I gave it, for this reason. As I study and study and study, as I was coming to Raleigh, six of the 7 points came to me, and the seventh point came during the time I was sitting there in the pew, and so you must forgive me for not having all of it committed to memory perfectly. but I'll try it again. And so this is the sevenfold analysis of these letters. You may look at it somewhat this way. How varied and fitting and sufficient is Christ's presentation of himself to each of the seven churches. How full and generous is Christ's praises to the churches he is able to praise. How great is Christ's expectation of his churches. How severe is Christ's warning and threat to the church that is in error. How patient and long-suffering is the Lord Jesus toward those that are in error. How incomparable are the gifts he promises to those that overcome. And how urgent is the appeal to everyone that has an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now that is the way it should be. And in case I have forgotten, I had it written here for a moment, but I didn't need it. So, what we have is this sevenfold presentation of Christ to the churches, and all I can do now, without any more explanations, reviews, I simply have to try to cover in 20 minutes what we did not cover last week. Here is what we have to learn, and it's this, that the spirit, the attitude of one church, though less than 100 miles from another church, is entirely different from that church that is nearby geographically. What is hated in Ephesus is hell in Pergamum. Never forget that. I used to think in my youth that all of the assemblies were the same, that they all believed the same. But then I discovered that no two of them are the same. But I find more and more that the things that they believe are different. And sometimes different in the extreme. And this is what I would impress upon you. That we as Christians need not only to learn how to love, but how to hate. And that is what we've forgotten, if we ever knew. You say Christians are to hate? Why, of course we are. The Lord Jesus said, has it said concerning him, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. And yet, I do not find Christians hating iniquity. And it says, to their credit, the Lord Jesus says, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Can you understand those words? Then, if you tolerate something that Christ hates, then something is extremely wrong. And Christians can't comprehend that. It is not that you are to look upon sin and tolerate it or consider it as if it's some light thing. But Paul writes, and he tells us concerning the law that we might know the extreme sinfulness of sin. And that is what the church has forgotten. Because we are indoctrinated by the world, by its literature, by radio, by television, by attitudes, by mores, all of these things influence us. And the things that at one time we hated and were shocked to consider, why now, they're commonplace. You can hear God's name taken in vain. And I don't know if you're shocked today, but before, it would be shocking and unthinkable. But now you hear it. Profanity? Why, you hear it all the time. And so understand that we of the church are to learn to hate as well as love. And in the church at Pergamum, Christ's condemnation of them is this. You have some there that hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. You have some that hold the teaching of Balaam. And Christ wants us to hate the teaching of Balaam. And he wants us to hate the teaching of the Nicolaitans. But in the church at Pergamum, there are some who do not hold those things, but they tolerate those in their church that do hold those things. And this should not be. And the cry and the urgent appeal to everyone that hath an ear is to repent and to straighten out the things that are existing that are displeasing to our Lord. Remember that. We must learn to hate as well as to love. And there is something wrong if God hates a thing and you tolerate a thing. Or if God says it is extremely sinful and you say, well, it's a little sinful, then your thinking must be conformed to the mind of God, and we must have the mind of Christ. I told you in comparison to Ephesus and Pergamum, this is the condemnation of it. Now, here is something that is most revealing, and it's something that we Christians reason illogically when we think this. Inasmuch as a person who sins at the Lord's Supper is going to experience weakness and sickness and then the sleep of death, I do not have to worry about the Lord's Supper, because God will take care of the Lord's Supper. And if anyone comes and there is not weakness and sickness or death, then all is well. But that's entirely wrong. Here is the woman Jezebel in the church at Thyatira, and she is teaching in the church. I will say more of that later in the will of God. And she is teaching to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. And God says this, I gave her time that she should repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Do you understand? And so here, month after month after month, this woman taught these vile doctrines. She was out of order in the church at Thyatira, and nothing was done. And so for that reason, I would say, well, it must be all right for women to teach, and this doctrine that she's teaching, it must be acceptable, because if not, God would strike her dead. Do you not understand that? That's wrong. And I'm so thankful that the Lord in the Gospels, as well as in his voice from heaven in the epistles, explains things to me. Here is a man born blind. Why? The Lord Jesus said, this man was born blind that the works of God might be manifest in his life. I wondered why he was born blind. Here is one whom Jesus loved who died. I wondered why he died. Jesus said, why, do you not understand that I must manifest that I am the resurrection and the life? And then I understand. Now, in like manner, why is God tolerating a woman like Jezebel to teach such vile doctrines? Why is he tolerating that? He says this, I gave her time that she should repent. I told you in this analysis how long-suffering and patient is Christ even to those that are in error in the church. And you misjudge it. You say there could not be anything wrong if the judgment of God would fall. The judgment of God is going to fall, and now the time has run out, and it's going to fall upon Jezebel. But for all that long-suffering and patience of Christ, it may have been misinterpreted, thinking that perhaps a woman should teach. Perhaps this doctrine is acceptable because God is doing nothing about it. He tells me why he's doing nothing about it. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. And it's the same way concerning those that err in the church. He is not willing for his judgment to quickly fall upon them until he gives them time to repent. Individuals, sinners, and, it says, the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And so it's not that America is so holy, but it may be that God is waiting. The iniquity of America is not yet full, but when it becomes full, then time is past. There was a period in which repentance could take place, but it did not take place. And God said, I will cast her into a bed and those that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of her works. You understand? And so now, I can no longer rest at ease, but I have to of myself examine what is going on in an assembly and see if it is of God or if it is not of God. And if it is not of God, and someone asked me this when those that were in error apparently were being blessed, he said, why, isn't the blessing of God a proof of his acceptance of those that are doing the work? And this came to mind. I said, tell me, the second time when God told Moses to speak to the rock, and he smote the rock, did the blessing come? He said, yes. I said, because of Moses' obedience or in spite of his disobedience? He said, in spite of his disobedience. Do you understand? And so the blessing of God is not always a manifestation of his approval of what is done, but it may be a manifestation of his gracious, in spite of what we are doing, his casting a blessing upon us as well. Consider that. And this is what was so frightening, and I will bring it to your attention again. He gives no more praises to any other church than to that at Thyatira. I know thy work and thy love and faith and ministry and patience, and that thy last works are more than the first works. But I have this against thee, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel. You tolerate. The word suffer means you allow, you permit, you tolerate her in her teachings and in her vile doctrines to be propagated in the church. You tolerate it. And he said, this is what I have against you. Do you understand? A finger could not be put on them as to their sins personally, but they are responsible also for the sins that others are committing to deal with them. And a learned brother said, there seems more and more to be a weakening on the part of the assemblies to deal with sin when it arises in the churches. And it happened as early as Pergamum and Thyatira, and it continues today. And because of what is happening in our society, it's going to get worse. Because of that, Thyatira is so important to us. And so let us remember, it is no longer God will take care of his church. Lord will judge those that the Lord suffereth if all is wrong. It may be a year. How long is I gave her time to repent? How long is that? I told you that he was patient and long-suffering. And it says in Romans 2:4, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And all of this patient long-suffering of God, we think that it's acceptance by God. But it is the patient endurance of wrongdoing by God. But then that time is going to run out, and then the judgment of God falls. And I told you that there are three distinct classes in the church at Thyatira. There are those commendable ones. I just told you their qualities. Then there is that vile woman Jezebel. Then there are those that commit adultery with her. And then there are those that are her children. More explanation of that later. But all of them are held guilty. Because a man can draw back and say, I do not associate with Jezebel. No, you allow Jezebel to associate with you. I do not believe what she teaches. No, but you allow her to teach it. That's the condemnation of God. And he is holding the church responsible for it. All right. Notice what he says. And here is what we must understand. That this woman, Jezebel, has time allotted to her, and her time to repent has run out. And if you look at the various texts, I can't go into all of that now. I gave her time to repent, and it says, she willeth not to repent of her fornication. Notice, even in a woman so vile as this, the promptings of God are working upon her inwardly. But her will not change. She willeth not to repent of her fornication. And she did not repent of her fornication. God says, my judgment is going to fall. How severe are God's warnings and threats to those that err in the church if they will not repent. And he says he's cast her into a bed, whereas there is this luxurious bed of illicit sex. He is going to throw her into a bed of pain and anguish and judgment. And he says, and also those that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent. Now there is hope. Notice, this woman has had her time. She's going to be cast into a bed. But what about those that have cohabited with her? God says, I'm going to send them into great tribulation, except they repent. And so there is still a chance for them. But what about those that have been completely won over by her? It says, I will kill her children with death. There are different classes here. The woman herself, those that have cohabited but have not completely given over to the woman and her teachings and her illicit ways. And then there are those, her children. This is what the Savior says in John 8. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and the will of your father, the works of your father, it is your will to do. Notice, you are of your father. They are the children of the devil. Why? Because they've given themselves wholly over to the devil. They are called the children of the devil. And it says, the works of your father, it is your will to do. Now, transfer this to Jezebel. You are of your mother, Jezebel, and the works of Jezebel, it is your will to do. And those like Jezebel, they will not repent. And those that are her children, they will not repent. They heard, they embraced her teaching, they made it a part of themselves. And now she has a following. And for that reason, they are doomed to death. I will kill her children with death. I told you how severe were the threats of the Lord Jesus against those that were in error. And Jezebel has had her time run out. And her children have had her time run out. But thank God, those that have cohabited with her, they can repent. And if they repent, then they can escape this great tribulation into which Christ is going to cast them. Now this, he brings out the meaning of he who has eyes as a flame of fire. He said, when he passes this judgment upon them, it said, all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and the hearts. And so here are these eyes of fire, as a flame of fire, and they penetrate the evil that's in the church, and he burns to the heart of it, and he has feet of brass, and he's going to stamp out this evil that is in his church. He gives them time. He sees what's going on. It's not that the Lord does not know. He has eyes as a flame of fire. He's not tolerating it. It's his long suffering. It's not his tolerance. But now, the time has run out, and he's going to kill them with death. And he will take those feet of burnished brass and crush all of those who had time to repent, and they will not repent of their evil doctrines and their fornications. Now, here is hope also. He says, I will give unto each one of you according to your work. What does that mean? It means that I have not had anything to do with this woman. But then there is another work that Christ is going to deal with me about allowing the work of this woman to continue. And so though he would not condemn me concerning my own personal work, still, he says, I will condemn you because of your tolerance of the work and behavior of this woman. And so he says, I'm going to give to every man according to his work. But listen to this. But to you I say, to the rest of her entire power, who have not this teaching, who know not the deep things of faith, and as they are wont to say, I cast upon you none other burden. Nevertheless, that which you have, hold fast till I come. Now think of this. He is trying to get them to have a church that is pure when he comes. He says, however, all the things that I could place upon you, I'm not going to place upon you any greater burden, but the things which you have, I know of your work, and I know of your love, and your faith, and ministry, and patience, and your increased works at the last. He says, hold fast that which thou hast till I come. And all of these things to be said at the first, they are to be continued and held fast. Notice, there are some that hold the doctrine of Balaam, and there are some that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and there are some that hold the doctrine of Jezebel. But he says, you hold fast the things that I commended you for at the first, and you hold them fast till I come. Are you letting them go, brethren? That's what I want to know. They did it at Ephesus. Here is Ephesus that embraced the Lord. And then she let go, and she left her first love. And the Lord said, remember, therefore, whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. And so here is the church at Thyatira. And he simply says, hold fast those good qualities which you have, and hold fast till I come. And I'm thinking of that. When the Lord cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And now, little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And he says, I'm coming. And when I come, I want you to hold fast those things that were precious to you from the very first. Do not let them go. Do not let those like this woman convince you and make you her child. And do not tolerate this woman. And so how urgent is the appeal to the church? Now you ask of this woman, and I can tell you this much. I take her to be an individual woman who was teaching in the church, who was allowed to teach in the church, and allowed to teach these vile doctrines. And that is why Christ says, I have this against you. You say, I think that this woman is a system. That is a good way to think, except for this. First of all, God gives an individual historical character. And then later, he gives a person that is patterned after that, like this. We have Jezebel, a real person in the Old Testament. And then there are those in the New Testament that he would say, why, here is a Jezebel. And if there were one in this assembly, in Goldsboro, in Durham, who ruled, you would say there was a Diotrephes. He's a literal Diotrephes, but he's not the same Diotrephes. And there was a literal Jezebel at first, and then you have those that are like unto it. You have Elijah. And the Lord Jesus said, John the Baptist is Elijah, if you will have it. He came in the spirit and power of Elijah. And you find this teaching throughout the Word of God. And then after you have an individual, then you will have that individual and others that are named after that individual. If someone sold you down the river, you could say, you Judas, and you would understand perfectly what I meant. And so if a woman did what this woman did, today you would say, you Jezebel. Why? Because the spirit, the behavior of the woman today would be like the woman in the church at Thyatira. Now, you will get a woman later on. That whore in chapter 17 and chapter 19, that is a system. You have a woman that is an individual in chapter 2, and then you have a woman that represents a system later on. But let's get the woman as an individual first. I tried to tell you things about the tabernacle. But before I start spiritualizing, I tell you that there was a literal pomegranate and a literal golden bell. Then I tell you the spiritual significance. And here is this woman, Jezebel. And I will add this, that Paul had already anticipated such things, and in 1 Corinthians 14 said, but I suffer not a woman, he said, it's not tolerated a woman to speak in the church. In 1 Corinthians 14, let the women keep silent in the church. It's not committed unto them to speak. In spite of what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14, it's being carried on in Revelation 2. He said, I suffer not a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to learn in quietness. And this woman is being permitted to teach vile doctrines in the church at Thyatira. That's the logical way to take it. And then if you want to spiritualize it, that's fine. You say, but God forbids such things. Why, he forbids many things, but we still do them today. We still tolerate them. Why do you think he says, I have this against you? Because they are tolerating the things that in 1 Corinthians 14 and in 1 Timothy 2 had been written long ago that they should not have been tolerated. And yet they did tolerate them. And I take it that the sins that are spoken of are literal sins, and then we can apply them spiritually at a later date. And so things were ever so severe in Thyatira, and Christ had been ever so tolerant, but now he says the end is going to come, and he points us to the time when he's coming back again, and when he comes, he wants to find those that are holding fast those first works for which he commended them. By God's grace, may we be among those that are holding fast those things that we held at the first that were pleasing in his sight. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, for every good thing that you can say of us, we thank you. How generous, how full is your praise of us, things, our God, that we would judge ourselves about. In your grace, you compliment us. We thank you, Father. But then, our Lord, let us know that you who have eyes like a flame of fire, you can see through us. You know what's on our heart and in our heart. You search the hearts and the reins. Our Father, let us know our hearts. And so search us out. And we're afraid of those burnished feet of brass, because what you can see in time, our Savior, you can stamp upon, you can crush. And so let us repent. Let us know how much time we have to repent. Let us know how much time we have before thy Son returns again.